What, however, happened in the 80s, most likely as a result of the malign influence of Mary Whitehouse and her powerful lobby group, the Viewers and Listeners Association, was that the Conservatives ossified in their position on social values. The most notable of those stances was that on homosexuality. One of the key measures reflecting this position was Section 28. Section 28 of the Local Government Act 1988 prohibited local authorities from promoting homosexuality or gay pretended family relationships, and prevented councils spending money on educational materials and projects perceived to promote a gay lifestyle. This flew in the face of public attitude at the time. It was 1988. Boy George was in the charts, so too Depeche Mode, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Erasure and the Communards. The 1980s was possibly the gayest decade of the century, and here were the Tories retrenching on laws targeting homosexuality.
One of the wonders of progressivism is how it has managed to rewrite history and the collective memory. The Britisher here calls the 1980s the gayest decade, but if we look at the British Social Attitude Survey for the 1980s, which is probably the most robust survey of its type in the world, we can see in 1983 at least half of the respondents thought that sexual relations between two adults is always wrong. This rose to 54% in 1984, 59% in 1985, and peaked at 64% in 1987. It remained at 50% or above in 1989, 1990, and 1993. In fact, the majority of the public would not agree that same-sex relationships between two adults were either rarely wrong or not wrong at all until 2010. Now, was this a normal, organic process, as Britisher suggests? He was very likely thinking of very visible cultural touchstones of the era thrust into the limelight by record label executives and television controllers. Or perhaps one thinks of the Pride movement, which was amplified by The Guardian and various other media outlets at the time. But as we can see, this was a vocal minority. The silent majority clearly agreed with Mary Whitehouse and indeed Margaret Thatcher, who made this speech in 1987.
But it's the plight of individual boys and girls which worries me most. Too often, our children don't get the education they need, the education they deserve. Children who need to be taught to respect traditional moral values are being taught that they have an inalienable right to be gay. All of those children are being cheated of a sound start in life. Yes, cheated.
As we can see from the data, only 13% of the country would have been against her explicitly on this point. And of course, Thatcher won that, her third election, rather convincingly. Thatcher passed Section 28, which explicitly prohibited schools and other government branches from explicitly promoting homosexuality. Now, how did we get from this point in 1987 to being where we are today only 30 years later? Some clue can be seen in the legislation. Despite the continued majority public opinion on these issues, for some reason, MPs in the Houses of Parliament had been trying for years to reduce the age of consent for gay men. Indeed, they tried in 1994, only 7 years after Thatcher made that speech, with overwhelming public backing. In 1997, the European Parliament intervened in a British court case, Sutherland versus the United Kingdom, and ruled that it was discriminatory and therefore against human rights for the age of consent to be 16 for straight people and 18 for gay men. No matter how many times this was voted down by Parliament, it kept coming back, and finally, in 2001, they lowered the age of consent for gay men to 16. We're well into the Tony Blair era now, and of course in 2003 he he passed discrimination laws making gay people a protected class with certain privileges. In effect, the positions put forward by Mary Whitehouse only 2 decades prior would now not have been allowed anywhere near television. It could be actively prosecuted. Indeed, Margaret Thatcher likely could not have given the speech that she did in 1987 in 2004 without provoking some sort of legal challenge. Now, if we go back to the data in 2003, this effectively criminalized the views of about 49% of the public. So I wonder if all of this is social and cultural change, or if it is what I describe as top-down social engineering, promoting the interests of a minority group above the stated preferences of the majority. The idea that any of this was inevitable is obviously not true. But the further claim that the Tories were too conservative on social issues, which made them out of step with a more socially liberal public, is obviously also bunk. If we lived in a country in which the media did not amplify certain voices above other voices, the outcomes may well have been different. And this is true regardless of where you actually stand on any particular social issue. Now get out.
And a very special thanks to Sir Percy Blakeney, The Crimson Satyr, The Ambivalent Onion, Andy Swainson, Bailey in Aurora, David Vacherche, Christopher Scholholm, Natural Rights, Binary Surfer, Holy Spatula, Hornito Jones, Kazga, Michael Tynan, Time Stealer, Toyotomi Ami, Tragic Vision, William Angus, Blake Barrows, and Edward Darrow.